Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous Division Fee Big Book Study. My name is Rick Jay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Monday, November 25th, 2024. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter How It Works on page 60, and we're on the second paragraph, beginning with our description of the alcoholic, and we are reading through that paragraph in the ABCs, ending with that God could and would if he were sought. Today's readers are Susan G., the 12 Steps, Stephanie R., the 12 Traditions, and our Big Book readers are Craig F. in the text, Chanel T. on page 164, and Tamara C. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Suzanne W., and our second hour moderator is Christine G. The share ID for Sunday, November 24, 2024, is 21,939. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Susan G. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, all. Susan G., compulsive overeater. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me give service this month and our past.
Thank you, Susan. I will now ask Stephanie R. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, family. Stephanie R. calling from Missouri, recovered compulsive overeater. Here are 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attractions rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for letting me serve this month. I pass.
Thank you, Stephanie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter How It Works on page 60, the second paragraph, beginning with our description of the alcoholic, and we are reading through that paragraph and ending in the ABCs that God could and would if he were sought. I will now ask Craig F. to begin reading.
Okay, this is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Good morning. Thanks, Rick. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. Okay, this is pretty rich. The description of the alcoholic, it says, we don't have a definition of an alcoholic. There's no clinical diagnosis. There's no chemical test you can run on someone and say, oh, this is a compulsive overeater. This is an alcoholic. We have a description. And one of the other reasons I think we just have a description and not a definition, is that we're rebellious lot, and it's left for us to identify in. That way, you can't rebel against your own identification. The description of the alcoholic, what they're referring to there, of course, is the doctor's opinion, Bill's story, there's a solution, and more about alcoholism describes what it means to be an alcoholic. It describes what it means, I think, to be a compulsive overeater as well. And that is, that we can't stop. We can't keep from starting, and we can't stop once we start, and that we're powerless over food, and that our lives are unmanageable by us. And that description and how that works out is different for each of us, but it's enough, similar enough that we can identify in. And then the chapters of the agnostic, of course, is we agnostics, and the personal adventures before and after is the rest of the stories. But it tells us that these three pertinent ideas, we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. That's step one. I came to believe I was powerless over food and couldn't manage my own life, and my life was unmanageable. That no human power could have relieved my alcoholism. That there's no human power. There's no diet. There's no fellowship. There's no set of steps or set of tools or willpower that can relieve this compulsion I have to eat. But the step three was that as God could and would, if he were sought, in other words, if I've turned my life and will over to the care of God, and then if I follow through on that, that really is expansive to say that with a step three that I've made a decision to carry through with the rest of the steps, because the rest of the steps serve the function of clearing the path from here to God, that I remove the resentments, the fears, the guilt that stands between me and that relationship with the power greater than myself. That I
gentle reminder.
Thank you. I reduce my egoism that says I can do it, and egoism that says I don't need anybody or anything. I reduce that so that I can be open to an experience with this higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Good stuff. Thank you so much for getting us started, Craig. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your first name and initial to get on the share list. Who would like to share and what was
your Harlan
G. Gotcha, Harlan.
Loretta H.
Okay, Loretta.
Karen K.
All right, Karen.
Connyetta R.
Okay, Connyetta.
Larry Levine H. Israel.
Okay, who was
Ruvain H. Israel? Ruvain H. Israel.
How do you spell your first name? Sorry.
Sure. R-E-U, V as in Victor, E-N-H, Israel.
Okay, Ruben, gotcha.
It'll be Larry.
Is that Larry?
Yeah, thanks, Rick.
Hey, Larry.
Tamara C.
Hey, Tamara. All right. I think this is a good lineup here. Awesome. Here's who I have. And then if you gave me your name and I didn't call it out, please tell me and we'll go on from there. So I've got Harlan G., Loretta H., Karen K., Connyetta R., Reuben H., Larry K., and Tamara C. Is there anybody that I missed?
Pedro B.
Oh, hey, Pedro.
Thanks, Rick.
All right. So, Harlan G., you are up next, followed by Loretta H. Go ahead,
thank
Harlan.
Thank you very much, Rick. Thanks for taking the meeting. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Craig did a magnificent job as the first reader. Much of what I'm going to say he already covered, but our description of the alcoholic, again, because repetition is the sincerest form of teaching, our description of the alcoholic, the doctor's opinion, Bill's story, there is a solution, and more about alcoholism. The chapter to the agnostic is step two. Our personal adventures before and after. That is the influence of William James, The Varieties of Religious Experience. Now let's take a look at these three pertinent ideas that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. The depth at which I accept the doctor's opinion will mark the urgency that I will work the rest of the steps. I have an illness. This is not a moral issue. This is not because I'm weak-willed. This I don't lack discipline. I don't lack character. If I try hard enough, I could just do it. I could lose weight if only I loved my mother. All that is horse hockey. I have an illness of the mind and an illness of the body. I am a compulsive overeater. I am one, and I will be one until I die. And every single day that I am lucky enough to wake up, my disease is going to get worse and worse and worse because the disease is progressive. That probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. Nothing of this world, not money, not sex, not prestige, not lack of money, not any station in life is going to change or alter the fact that no human power could relieve my alcoholism. I'll give you some names. Karen Carpenter, Mama Cass Elliott, James Gandolfini, Jackie Gleason. What do all these people have in common? They were at the top of their games. If anything could be bought or acquired to change their disease, they would have bought it. Yet they're dead and in their graves because of this disease. And see that God could and would if he were sought. When I walk to God, he runs to me. Now, there's agnostics here, there's atheists here that are saying, well, wait a minute, that leaves me out. No, I'm not leaving you out. All that's required is a belief or a willingness to believe that there is a power greater than myself. That's all that's required. It doesn't have to be a religious deity that I believe in. I happen to believe in a religious deity. That's okay. That every time I walk to God, he runs to me, and it is only by the grace of God and only by the miracles of God, some of which I see, some I don't see, that I'm not only alive today, but I have a life worth living today, and I've been abstinent for 25-plus years and have lost over 500 pounds, and I have kept it off for a couple of decades.
Gentle reminder.
I'm going to go walk 3 miles without stopping, but I'm a member of this program, and I'm a member of this fellowship, and I believe it because I live it. And with that, I will pass. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you so much, Harlan G. from Arizona. Loretta H., you're up next, followed by Karen K. Go ahead, Loretta.
Good morning, Rick, and good morning all along with my precious God, and especially the newcomer. Welcome. You are saving my life. Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. I looked up the word description, a statement, account, or picture in words that describe someone or something. And then it says our adventures, our personal stories. These are very pertinent to us because as the two young men that shared before me, I have to identify as a real, real compulsive overeater, even though I go the other way. And I actually am duly addicted, and I identify more with this book and with this schemes and escapades and everything of Bill and the people, the Jims, the Freds, the Jaywalker, than I ever did in my other disease, because it brought me down to the end where I was actually going to jump out my window in New York City with the tie, and I didn't want to make a mess. And with God's grace and mercy today, this is pertinent. This is on my heart and my soul, that I am a real compulsive overeater and could not manage our own lives. That probably no human power, and that's what I missed the first time around in OA. I used people and food plans, and I got very anorexic. That God could and would if he were. That is for me the most important. Seeking him every single day, having this relationship with a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity, that does solve all my problems. And this morning I was on my two-way prayer, and it was an Emmett Fox reading, and it says God has no office hours, so I can reach him anytime I need him. And I do it in a lot of different ways, but today I have this relationship that saves my life. So not only do you save my life, but I can actually maybe help somebody else through this process. And that's what the beauty of this program. It's divinely inspired. It's all about God. But I do have the allergy of the body, which is different than somebody else's. But I definitely have the obsession of the mind. And then I am a real, real compulsive overeater. So thank you, everybody. And thank you, God. Today is a beautiful day. And I just am in very much in this Thanksgiving season of Thanksgiving for my life, because a wretch like me was saved by God and the steps. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. Karen K., you are up next, followed by Conyetta R. Go ahead, Karen.
Good morning. My name is Karen Kay, recovered compulsive eater from Syracuse, New York, and my credit is don't transfer. I love A, B, and C. Let's see what it really says here, that that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. So that means, you know, it's not about, you know, how much ho-hos I ate or how many sheet cakes I ate, and, oh, God, I feel bad. Like, how am I showing up for life? You know, I'm just only have my little dot in the sand of my – it's like, am I taking care of myself? Am I showing up for my husband? Am I showing up for my work? Am I being peaceful? Am I being kind? That's how I read A, you know. And so I can't manage it by myself. And I learned this really, really early on. Let's see what the black and white says in B, that probably no human power could relieve our alcoholism. We're in the probably right now in this meeting. How people are working through, how God's working through, you know, Harlan just shared that, Loretta that just shared, that's the probably. I don't know where people get caught up. I mean, I got caught up in a really long time. Like, no human power. Well, if there was no human power, we wouldn't have meetings. Not that it has to be the power, but God works through all of you. I mean, I'd be pretty lonely on this line and listening to the little tunes that play if I didn't sign on to this meeting and no one else signed on either. And that God could and would, if he were sought, that's an invitation. You know, I need to reach out to my higher power. I mean, my higher power is not going anywhere. He always runs into me. I don't need to, like, go chasing him, you know. I just need to invite him into my day. Invite him in, you know, I'm just going to stop with this. It's real simple. You know, we have a lot of homeless people here in Syracuse. And for the grace of God, go I. For the grace of God, go I. And I say, what am I going to do about that? How would God have me be? So I've got these paper bags of blessed holy water, bottles to drink water, gloves, $2, and some peanut butter and crackers. And they're ready to hand out to people. You know, and there for the grace of God go I. That's my not yet. My disease could bring me there. And for that, I can be open to A, B, and C and see how the probably works. And with that, I'll pass. And thank you for leading the meeting. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Karen Kay from New York. And up next is Conyetta R, followed by Reuben H. Go ahead, Conyetta.
Okay. My name is Conyetta, and I'll spell it for you, Rick. Chanayetta. But the C is silent. It's just Conyetta. Okay. So now, and I'm from Texas, and my last initials are. I'm the only Conyetta in the list. And I love calls, and I'm putting myself out there as a sponsor. So I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm so grateful to be here. Wow, powerful, powerful shares. And I really liked the fact that somebody pointed out it's a description of the compulsive overeater, not a definition. I just really love that. And just everything that everybody said was so great. But I just love that God could and would if he were sought. Okay, so it's not like God could come down and just, well, he could come down and just zap me and say, poof, you're healed. That's it. You never have to worry about wanting another bite at all. But I had to seek him. I had to come in a year ago yesterday. I came in, I opened my hands with my palms up, and I reached to the sky and said, I am surrendering. I am not wanting to live like this anymore. I am dying, physically dying, and I don't want to. I want to see my great-grandchildren. I want to be with them. I want to help them grow up. I want to be a good example for them. And I want to save my life. Please, God, please, I'm begging you, help me. And I've been abstinent since then, and I am neutral. Food is neutral to me. I cannot believe that. You know, I used to take butter out of a container and sit there and eat it. And I can look at it now. I can even get it on my fingers by accident and wipe it off without me wanting to lick it off. It's that is a total miracle. Total miracle. I don't even think about anything with sugar in it. It doesn't even appeal to me anymore. I can go down the aisle that where all the chocolate is. I can smell the chocolate and I can say I love the smell of chocolate without wanting to eat it, without thinking it's mine. It's that to me is a miracle. Because why? Because God could and would, because I sought him. So I want to say, everybody, welcome. Oh, and the newcomer. The newcomer is the most important person to me because I can't keep it unless I give it away. So anyone new out there, please call me. I love talking to newcomers. Anyway, so again, my name is Hanayeta R, and I am from Texas. And everything is a miracle. Everybody has a miracle out there, and I'm praying.
For a reminder.
You all stick around. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Thanks, Rick.
All right. Thank you so much, Hanayeta R. from Texas. All right.
Great.
Up next is Reuben H., followed by Larry K. Go ahead, Reuben.
Thank you. We're leading the meeting, and thanks everybody else for sharing and participating and for the reader. My name is Reuben H. From Israel. And today, I will say that I am a recovering compulsive overeater, and I will explain. This really applies to me. I would say to today that I am on day one. And the reason I say day one is because there's a description of the alcoholic that picks up alcohol. And I, after 90-some days of abstinence, I picked up ingredients that were alcoholic foods for me, which led to taking more of them. And the description of the alcoholic and the progressiveness that's been spoken about describes my days over the past several days, off and on, more and less. However, so this is a wonderful word here, the description of the alcoholic, the description of the compulsive food eater who, in my opinion, and when I look at it, I write it down, eating my alcoholic foods, before and after do show three things: that my life became unmanageable in these days, and I can go into all the details right now, but as I write them on the paper, that I put down what I'm doing, keeping notes on myself, because I need to do an accounting, I need to do an inventory, I need to be honest with myself, that I am not, it's not just not managing my food, I am not managing my life, that in my life, that no human power could have relieved our compulsive overeating that in my history, no human power had. And only the God that I sought, together with, you know, this is an important piece for me, is that when I say that God could and would if he was sought, I'm not talking about the God of magic, which is what I held on to for so many years, which I surrendered, because my God today, and the Big Book gives there many, many descriptions of what the definition of God is, through many, many terms and many attributes.
It's a reminder.
If I'm willing to do my part, then God will be able to do his part. But it's not that I am without responsibility. Thank you for letting me share today.
Thank you so much, Reuben H. from Israel. Larry K., you're up next, followed by Tamara C. Go ahead, Larry.
Okay, Rick. Thanks for your service. I'm Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. You know, here's my experience with these three critical ideas, A, B, and C. A, B, and C, in my experience, were seldom, if ever, discussed in the OA meetings that I went to early on. And no one seemed to be getting any better. You know, that was just my reality. I think today, perhaps it's a bit different, but someone along the way suggested that I go to an AA meeting. And as an alcoholic, I, you know, that was no problem. And because they said at least they were focused on this text. And, you know, perhaps you've heard it said that, you know, the consciousness that created the problem most certainly cannot be the consciousness that solves the problem. And so, what, you know, once we fully embrace that fact, we come into an understanding that the only purpose of the 12-step process, the only one, is a spiritual awakening. And if, you know, for people like me, the only solution is a psychic change at depth. It was mentioned at depth. In other words, it can't be a surface change. It needs to be a radical, revolutionary change. And I like how someone shared with me, you know, they said, A, I can't save myself. B, you can't save me. C, you know what, Larry, find a higher power or die. Bottom line. Prejudices that keep us chained to this dungeon wall, you know, and that's what Bill had on his third day of hospitalization on page 14 in the Big Book. You know, that was his spiritual experience. The guy never drank again from that moment forward. Indisputable, right? I mean, he had worked with the steps with Ebby the day before, you know, the six steps of the Oxford group, page 13, he works the steps, gives kind of a distilled account in the Big Book, but indisputably transformative nonetheless, right? So that level of open-mindedness is that's required, if you're at all like me, represents a titanic shift in consciousness. That's what I mean. And to the extent that I hold on to my prior knowledge, experiences, perceptions of reality, I'm blocked from having any different experience. It's like I'm asleep. I'm dreaming, but you know, that I'm awake, but I'm not awake. I need to awaken. And can I awaken of my own power? No, I can't. To make the unconscious conscious, I must have the help of a power greater than myself. How? The actions embedded in the steps, the implementation of the steps. And then what comes from that is a radical transformation of consciousness. I must be brought into congruence with power, period.
Just a reminder.
And I've heard it said, thanks, Rick, I've heard it said, on the road of skepticism, I had to pass through the valley of ambiguity. That's what I need here. With that, I pass. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you so much, Larry K. from Illinois. Tamara C., you're up next, followed by Pedro B. Go ahead, Tamara.
Thanks, Rick. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., a recovered compulsive overeater living in Missouri. I thought it was interesting that Bill chose the word adventures. I don't know, it just kind of made me smile, like, adventures. To me, adventures kind of has this feel of something fun and exciting, and I guess that sometimes my personal adventures with controlling food were a bit exciting. Like when I was on that high of a period of control, feeling like, oh, I got this now, I got this. But boy, at the low points, it sure just felt like disaster and calamity and hopelessness. But my personal adventures with controlling food did teach me that, A, I am an addict, and I am powerless. My life is unmanageable. I'm powerless over the physical craving that results when I eat my alcoholic foods or engage in my alcoholic behaviors. And there's no cure. There's no cure for me. And it's beyond my control. It feels like this overwhelming, desperate, absolute need. Like if I'm holding my breath and I must take a breath, it feels like that. I must take a bite. I must. And no strength of character is going to overcome this craving. And it increases. It's never satisfied. And I'm powerless over that. And for me, one thing that's unmanageable is the mental twist, the insane idea that food is a solution. I can't convince myself to think sanely either. I tried to just think, you know, put up slogans, keep repeating things to myself, try to change the way I think about food, and I can't do it. I think that I'm an intelligent and talented person. Bill and Dr. Bob were very intelligent and talented, and the problem was unmanageable for them, and it's definitely unmanageable for me. And B, there's just no relief from my own efforts or other human efforts. I did get temporary relief with group support, with accountability. Somebody told me what to eat, give me a diet. But after a time, that stopped being effective. My disease was too powerful, and that was insufficient. And C, I am not abandoned to fight this alone. There is a higher power who is stronger than the physical craving and the mental twist and wants to relieve me. And I get to seek that power. And I've learned that for me, the steps are, as people have said before, the treasure map that helped me seek and find the power who loves me, who is paying attention and wants to help me in every moment, in every pain, in every powerlessness, every character defect, all of it. I'm not alone. I have a higher power, and that's just amazing. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Tamara C. from Missouri. Pedro B., you're up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Pedro.
Good morning, Rick, and have you heard?
You can.
Hi, thanks. Good morning, everybody, my brothers and sisters. My name is Pedro B. I live in San Bernardino, California. I'm very happy to be here working on my daily reprieve, you know, fulfilling my primary purpose to stay abstinent and help another compulsive overeater of staying abstinent. Very happy about that. That's what I have, so daily reprieve, nothing else. I'm a compulsive overeater. I have been a compulsive overeater, and I will always be a compulsive overeater, and I have to be real vigilant because this disease tells me that I'm not, right? So I have to work on it. It's famous. Hey, I'm also a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and when they read, hey, that we're alcoholics, B, that's right, C, that I couldn't wait. You know, lately I've been thinking about, if you're new, welcome. There's recovery here. This meeting is incredible. Please keep coming back. I'm going to try to do the same thing. So lately I've been thinking about this idea of God, right? This power in my life. And you know, running through my mind is that you and I is a power greater than myself. You know, I cannot recover. Right? I could not manage. I cannot manage. If I could have managed my own life, I would never have a problem with weight. And besides, like my friend says, this is not a loose weight program. You know, the food is not the problem. Right? The food is the solution for the compulsion. The problem is the buildup of the emotions. So it's a spirituality. The spirituality that I need to work on. And if I could, I would. right? But the fact is, and then, you know, early in the book, there's a line somewhere, I don't remember where, it says, being convinced the self was destroyed us. I am my worst enemy. I need a psychic change. I need a spirit. If I don't have a psychic change, if I don't have a spiritual, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. You know, it's been proven to me that I need to practice this principle in all my affairs, right? Overeating is just a symptom of something, you know, wrong in my soul, deep down within. That's what the problem is for me, you know, because my disease is half me measure. It wants me to believe that you got this. This is easy. Nah, man. What I really have is a daily reprise contingent on my spiritual condition. So I need to work on my spiritual condition every day. How? Through prayer, meditation, first thing in the morning. Coming to an
just a reminder.
Thank you, Greg. Thank for your. And this is, I'll wrap it up with this. This is Thursday. It's Thanksgiving week. And like my sponsor called it, Thanksgiving is Thursday. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pedro B. from California. All right, before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter How It Works on page 60, the second paragraph, beginning with our description of the alcoholic. And we're reading that paragraph, including the ABCs, ending with that God could and if you were God. So, and although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name and first initial to get on the share list and who would like to share what was read today.
Stephanie L.
Was that Stephanie L?
Stephanie O.
Stephanie O, okay.
Leia S.
Hey, Leia.
Troy C.
Troy C.
Chanel T.
I'll take one more. Who is that?
Chanel T.
Okay, Chanel, that's it for now. We'll see where we're at. Stephanie O, Leia S, Troy C, Chanel.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Stephanie O. from Long Island, New York. Today, I am recovered from chronic relapse. And, okay, the tears are coming out of absolutely nowhere. And I think it's just because the speaker said that we're rebellious. I am such an asshole when it comes to food. I cannot believe where my disease will take me. My God is so incredible. And has really shown me, has like laid out in front of me, really, where they want me to go in this life. And it's in alignment with what I really want to do. And God has shown me the path. And I'm so grateful that I have a God that's willing to show me and give me glimpses. And I think it's because, I know it's because I have sought that guidance. And this weekend, I had an incident with food, and it is just, I can't believe it. I can't believe I did it. And I've been coming to this meeting, and I asked somebody to sponsor me, and I wasn't willing to give up my regular sponsor that I've been with. And what came to me this morning is, Steph, you need the miracle, and you're not getting it anywhere else but this 7 o'clock in the morning meeting. And still, something kicked you in the butt this weekend. Your disease still figured out a way to wiggle its way in. And I know it's because I'm getting closer. I know it's because I'm getting closer to the truth that my disease is pissed. And I got tricked this weekend. And I'm so angry. And the rebellion, oh my gosh, that so spoke to me this morning. And so what I know today is that I have to be on my knees, surrender, surrender, surrender. And I'm calling that person today, and I'm going to do whatever the hell she tells me. And with that, I pass because I'm so grateful for every single one of you. Thank you.
Rick, press star one. Rick, press star one, please.
Okay, I can go ahead. I'm Leah S., and I am recovered in Brooklyn, New York. And, A, B, and C are, to me, the three steps. And A is that I have to admit, if I'm to recover from this terrible, terrible despair, I've got to allow myself to be vulnerable again and to have some kind of trust over here. So that's step one to me. And B is step two. It means increasing that trust and belief that I cannot do it myself. And in how do I increase that? If I go into a room, all I need to do is put that switch on. And how we just, automatically believe that the light will come on. That's all it is, just one switch. So I can do that. I can trust that. And I can be willing for, I can expand that for today and see that God could and he would to restore me for sanity. So who says that I'm not normal? Well, truthfully, deep down, I know I do not eat like a normal person. Truthfully, deep down, I know that I'm coming up against holidays and I'm coming up against people and I'm coming up against relationships and I don't know how to do that. And so it takes me right back into step one. I really don't know. I'm admitting it. I'm powerless. And like I did understand that all I have to do is put that light switch, well, for now, I'm going to trust that infinite power because something is there and that power will propel me forward. And with that, I will pass.
All right. Thank you, A.S. Sorry about that, guys. My phone was unmuted, but I couldn't be heard. We've got it all fixed out now. All right, Troy C., you're up next, followed by Chanel T. Go ahead, Troy.
Thank you so much, Rick. My name is Troy C. I am a recovering compulsive overeater in Florida. Wow. There is a 0% chance I'm going to tread any new ground here. The shares this morning have been just incredible from Craig onward. So I just wanted to, what we're doing here is a recap, right? And so they're basically saying for the few dozen pages we've read of the book so far, the chapters we've read so far, we've just laid out these three concepts here I couldn't keep I ate the way these guys drank, right? I couldn't keep my car out of the drive-thru. I couldn't control when I was going to walk through Costco and pass the food court without a pizza. I had to learn through my own bitter experience that no human power could have relieved that. Every diet, every friend or girlfriend or family member telling me, oh, you look great. I hope you really can keep the good work up. None of that could keep me away from the food. But when we get to the third point, it's one thing now where, I'm someone who's, making amends and on his way through the step work and feeling the protection of a higher power when it comes to food and building that relationship. But, this book is written as a sales pitch to people who are struggling with their alcoholism, people who are in the grips of it. So they may have evidence for points one and two. They may be able to relate to the experiences of these people, the way they describe their drinking. But when it comes to point three, that God couldn't would if he were sought, it's completely an article of faith. And why on earth would I believe these guys? Me, Mr. Science, Mr. Belligerent Atheist coming in the program. The only reason I would be willing to agree with that third point is because this is the last house on the block. I've got nowhere else to go because of points one and two. I've painted myself into a corner. My disease has painted me into a corner. I have nowhere else to turn. You know, it's the leap of faith might as well be jumping off of a cliff because my disease is absolutely going to kill me. So I can either acknowledge this point and then lead into the third step in the coming paragraphs, or I can, you know, continue on to the bitter end, into the gates of insanity or death. It's a really, like everything in this book, it's a really beautiful recap of where we're at so far, and I'm looking forward to reading more of it with you all. Thanks, I pass.
All right, thank you, Troy C. from Florida. Chanel T., you're up next, and we'll see where we're at. Go ahead, Chanel.
Hi, thanks so much, Rick. Chanel T., Washington State. Grateful and recovered compulsive eater today by the grace of God. Just thinking ABCs, right? Nothing much simpler than ABC, and nothing much simpler. I didn't say easier, I didn't say more convenient, but simpler than the way this program of action and miracles is laid out in this book that was originally written for alcoholics, but works, thank God, works for me as a compulsive over and under eater. That's why I say I'm a compulsive eater, by the way, because I happen to, because of working these steps, I had to put the food down, work these steps like my life depends on them, and keep working them, and keep it, my program as simple as possible, carrying the message to others. Because of that, I get to have this beautiful life now. I kind of lost track of what I was going to say there. I was just going to tell you that life right now does feel pretty unmanageable in some other areas. It's coming at me, and it's not feeling all that great. It feels pretty complicated. I've got some big decisions to make, and it seems like they're just one right after another. And I know a lot of you can relate, and that is overwhelming. But thankfully, I have this very simple grounding program that keeps me out of the food. I'm not binging. I'm not starving. I'm not compulsively exercising. I get to share this message of hope and freedom with others. And I get to come together with people like you who understand me in a way that nobody else does. And I understand you in a way that nobody else does. It's such a beautiful thing, but so simple. I don't want to complicate it. Please, God, let me never complicate it. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Chanel T. from Washington. Anybody want to have a last share here? I've got room for one more.
Donna K., Ohio.
You got it, Donna K. Go ahead.
Cool. Thanks so much, Donna K. from Ohio. Recovered for today. I'm so grateful. I just want to throw a comment in about the gratitude meeting on Sunday. It was really a wonderful and beautiful event, and I'm just grateful for my reconnection with my higher power. And I'm just, I don't know, I'm in a good place of balance, okay, in a lot of areas of my life. Things are falling into place, and it's not because I've done things differently. It's just that I've just stepped back and just done what I need to do to take care of myself. And working the program has been the best, most loving thing I could do for myself. So anyway, all the other doors were closed. This one was open wide. So thanks for letting me share. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Well, thank you, Donna Kay. We actually have a one-minute share if somebody wants that.
Stephanie R.
All right, Stephanie, you got it.
I just wanted to say what a beautiful meeting and just so much gratitude because I have a place of serenity when I listen to this meeting. I connect in a way with my fellows that I just never have in the past, and really, really grateful because it helps me understand that I need this program so that I can understand the importance of my relationship with my higher power, which is the most important relationship I have. So very, very grateful that I was able to just get on the line, claim my seat, and say I'm so very grateful that you all are able to help me see the importance of just staying close to my higher power. I choose to do that every day, and I'm grateful that you guys are there to help me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking us out, Stephanie R. And thank you, everyone who shared. It was a very powerful meeting for me, and I got so much out of it. Thank you so much, everyone. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, November 25th, 2024, is 21,940. That's 21,940. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Chanel T. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks, Rick. Still Chanel, still grateful and recovered. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. Surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you